News Talk 93 FM. Heard everywhere.
And we're back with you. This is Looking Back, Looking Forward, and my name is Lloyd D'Aguilar. There is a headline in one of our newspapers last week which said, cervical cancer kills 4 Jamaican women each week. Doctors say girls 10 to 14 years should be vaccinated. And this is all coming out of a launch by GlaxoSmithKline, a pharmaceutical company, of a new vaccine called Cervarix for the prevention of cervical cancer. And on the line to discuss the question of vaccination for cervical cancer are Drs. Charmaine Mitchell, a gynecologist and one of the participants in this GlaxoSmithKline launch, and Dr. Rebecca Carley, who is a regular contributor to this program. Welcome, Dr. Mitchell.
Thank you very much.
And welcome, Dr. Carley.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back with you, Lloyd.
Now, Dr. Mitchell, what is human papilloma virus, which has been identified as one of the causes of cervical cancer?
Okay, the human papilloma virus is a virus that is sexually transmitted. And there are several different types that exist, but the type that actually infect the cervix or the genital tract and can cause a problem is of the order of about 40 types, but significant types are the ones that cause cancer, and that's the one that we're interested in when we consider vaccination of women.
Mm-hmm.
The significant ones are the HPV 16, 18, 31, and 45.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the subtypes that are the predominant causative factor in cervical cancer, and these account for over 80% of all cases of cancer of the cervix. And these are the types that we hope to target in terms of cancer prevention.
Now, you say that cervical cancer is quite common in Jamaica. How will this new vaccine help to fight cervical cancer?
Well, the cancer of the cervix in Jamaica is second only to breast. And in fact, our incidence of cervical cancer is pretty similar to the figures in like sub-Saharan Africa and you know, developing countries, poor countries. And in the Caribbean in general, the incidence is quite high. So in developing countries is where the burden of disease is. And so we would normally use the cervical smear, that's a pap smear,
mm-hmm.
for detection of early precancerous lesions and cancer of the cervix. And what exists now is that we screen women over 21 every year using a pap smear. But the problem using the pap smear is that despite the fact that, well, in the first place, a lot of women don't show up for their pap smears because of, one, ignorance, two, lack of knowledge, you know, basically, then that's the ignorance factor, lack of pap smear is not readily available, so lack of access to screen. And nationally, we do not have a comprehensive screening system as it exists in first world countries, where you have an organized system where women come in and do their pap smears, and you know, the facilities to treat the abnormal pap smear is there, and so on.
So the vaccine will do what now?
So the vaccine now will prevent you from getting cervical cancer, whereas the pap smear would pick up early changes and you treat for those. The vaccine will actually prevent you from getting it. So
and there is data to support its success.
The studies have been done globally, and all these studies have conclusively shown that the vaccine does work. It's quite effective in preventing not only precancerous changes, but also to cancer of the cervix.
Okay. Now, Dr. Carley, I know that you are generally against vaccines, but the literature in this case says that Cervarix contains no live virus and no DNA, so it cannot infect the patient. Would you make an exception in this case?
Certainly not. As a matter of fact,
this drug is undergoing clinical trials right now. If you go to GlaxoSmithKline's announcement about this vaccine, they're still continuing the trials of this vaccine. It has not been proven to be safe or effective. And so basically they're going to be using the children of Jamaica to experiment on. I would like to ask the doctor, has this vaccine ever been tested to see if it causes cancer?
Dr. Mitchell?
Well, as you said before, that the vaccine, we've had lots of trials using the vaccine. The vaccine does not cause cancer or any disease because there is no live virus in the vaccine, and so it's incapable of causing disease.
Well, if I could just comment on that, please. I find that very surprising because not a single vaccine has ever been tested to see if it causes cancer, including the Gardasil vaccine, and that's what it says right in the physician's death reference. As I said, this vaccine is not even in the 2009 physician's death reference because it's still undergoing clinical trials. As far as the vaccination not being able to cause cancer because of the fact that it doesn't have any live virus in it, obviously there's all kinds of DNA and RNA that can get into a vaccine from tissue cultures that is used as well. Not to mention the fact I was very disturbed to learn that this vaccine has a new adjuvant in it. Not only does it have adjuvant, but it has something called monophospholipid A, which has never been tested either. So they're experimenting on the children with this adjuvant, an adjuvant being something that stimulates the immune system, and this adjuvant actually stimulates the T cells as well. And I'm sure this is going to cause a huge increase in autoimmune disease because it's causing the immune system to rise up in a way that's caused by the injection.
Dr. Carly?
Yes.
Are you using a wireless phone or something?
No, I'm using a phone with a headset.
Oh, okay. Because we getting some feedback. So, Dr. Mitchell, Dr. Carly is saying that the drug has not been tested sufficiently to make the claims that are being made of it.
Well, I heard very little of what she said because it was just very low.
Mm-hmm.
But she made mention of the use of monophospholipid and which stimulates the immune system. Basically, how this adjuvant works is to boost the immune system to cause an increased production of substances that we call antibodies, which are the protective antibodies, the neutralizing antibodies, which actually cause the vaccine to work effectively. And lots of studies have been done on all the trials done so far. And with Cervarix, the studies extend to as far as 7.3 years, and they've all shown that vaccine is safe. The vaccine does not cause cancer, and there are no significant adverse effects that have been reported in all the trials that have been done.
Well, I want to refer you, Dr. Mitchell, to the Journal of Immunology, 2002, 168, pages 926 to 932. Monophospholipid A does not activate antibody production. It activates T cells. And T cells have all kinds of cytokines and other things in them that can cause a massive inflammatory reaction. This is a new kind of adjuvant that's now being experimented on in the children. As far as this vaccine not causing any side effects, I refer you to the Daily Mail reporter from March 9th of 2009, where they are reporting that 1,300 of the girls who received the cervical cancer vaccine in England reported adverse reactions, including convulsions, epilepsy, paralysis, Bell's palsy, and Guillain-Barré syndrome. And again, I will say that no vaccine has ever been tested to see if it causes cancer. So to put a vaccine out claiming it's going to protect you from cancer when it's never been tested to see if it causes cancer is a fraud upon the public.
Well, to the best of my knowledge, all the trials that have been done and based on the makeup of the vaccine, it has no potential to cause cancer because what causes cancer is a live viral particle and there's no live virus here. So, I mean, its cancer-causing potential is virtually zero. It doesn't really cause any disease.
Dr. Mitchell, I've done a little go online to investigate, get some information about GlaxoSmithKline. I see where in 2006, there was a $14 million settlement in New York following a lawsuit where it was alleged that they withheld negative information, suggesting a risk, negative risk or a possible risk of suicidal thinking and acts in certain individuals who were taking a drug called Paxil. Okay, they've settled for $14 million there. In Beaumont, Texas, they again withheld information for another drug called Avindia, and they were again fined something like $10 million there. And they paid out another $115 million to settle another fraud charge where they overcharged on the medication in order to get it going. But they had a deal going with the doctors. So they would pay the doctors less and then overcharge
you now.
It.
Yeah. And let me make it very clear. I do not work for GlaxoSmithKline.
Yeah.
I hear what you say. I have no knowledge of it. But I have nothing to do with GlaxoSmithKline.
Yeah, but you appeared at their the launch of this this vaccination drug.
Right.
So how did you actually come to endorse their drug?
Because I've gone to all the conferences all over the world. I have been to lots of sittings, read widely about the vaccine, and based on the knowledge that is available and all the extensive studies done, I do endorse this vaccine because all the available evidence suggests that the vaccine is safe and that the vaccine does work.
But Dr. Mitchell, might you be putting yourself on the line, because given the track record of SmithKline, the numbers of lawsuits which have been taken out against them for damage, and also the fact that in the United States, especially where vaccination is concerned, vaccination of children, there is a shield law where if someone alleges that they were damaged by a vaccination manufactured by SmithKline, for example, it would be the state that becomes responsible for the lawsuit. SmithKline wouldn't have to pay because there is a fund set up. Let me just finish the question. In a situation like Jamaica, if you administer one of SmithKline's drugs to a patient and that patient alleges damage, are you the doctor now responsible for a lawsuit, or is it the drug company which would be responsible?
The drug company. And that holds true for any drug, really.
Mm-hmm. So you, the doctor, would not be responsible. They would be suing the drug company.
That holds true for any drug, because, you practice based on what you consider safe guidelines and according to available evidence. I mean, any drug that is introduced with time and experience, then, drugs are withdrawn over time because of, side effects that, become... based on utilization over the years, and so the drug company would have to accept responsibility for whatever. I mean, we just prescribe based on what is available.
Dr. Carley, I'm reading in the newspapers here that Gardasil, for example, will cost $13,000 per dose, while Cervarix will cost $7,500 per dose. So it's much cheaper than Gardasil. Is this pharmaceutical companies, competing against each other and trying to sell their product?
Well, that's obvious that they're doing that. But as I said, this vaccine also has a new adjuvant in it that they're now using the children as guinea pigs to test it as well. And the very mechanism by which a vaccine works is that it causes an immune response to an antigen. So it has to have the antigens, i.e. the proteins of the HPV, in the vaccine, or it wouldn't produce a response. As I said, I couldn't look this up in the physician's death reference because it's not in there yet, because these children are being experimented on. The clinical trials are now going to move to Jamaica. And this is a violation of the Nuremberg Code, by the way, which states, and this was after the Nuremberg war crimes trials in Nazi Germany when they were experimenting on all these people, that you cannot force a person to be experimented on without informed consent. Now, you can't get informed consent if the experiment is being done on the person, because the very reason the experiment's being done is because they don't know what the effect is going to be. As I said, it's reported in the Daily Mail newspaper from England of little girls getting paralysis, Guillain-Barré syndrome, seizures, etc., from this vaccine. And Dr. Mitchell's saying that when she went to these conferences all over the world, she never heard about this. That's problematic in my view, because as you said, Lloyd, these companies cover up the effects of their drugs. As a matter of fact, it was just reported here in the States this past week that Tylenol, acetaminophen, they're now considering giving it a black box warning after 20 years of the FDA finding that it causes 56,000 emergency room visits every year, 26,000 hospitalizations, and 458 deaths per year. So 20 years they've been watching this drug kill people, and now they're considering giving it a black box warning. Not taking it off the market, mind you, just giving it a black box warning. Because what works, how it works with these companies is that they can pay out a few million in legal cases to people that are killed and maimed by these drugs, but they make billions on the drugs. So basically, it's just a cost of doing business for them to pay out these monies. Of course, you have to find an attorney willing to bring the case. And what often happens is in these cases is that the attorney sells you out, because the drug company will call pay them more to throw the case than you're going to get the attorney for the job.
Dr. Mitchell, are you, you know, absolutely certain that there might not be some side effects to this Cervarix? You're going to put your professional integrity on the line for this drug?
Let me explain to you. Based on the available evidence, she mentioned the cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome, which I'm aware of, but there was no direct cause. There were some reported cases, but there was no direct association with the vaccine per se.
Wait a minute. I have to chime in on that, because little girls 12 years old do not become paralyzed, and this is what they always do, and it says this right in the Daily Mail article. The reported reactions does not necessarily mean they are side effects of the vaccine. Well, I'm sorry, if you inject children with an experimental drug and they end up paralyzed, how can you say there's no evidence it was caused by the vaccine? What else did it come from?
Dr. Mitchell?
As I was saying before, right, when you administer a drug, you can have side effects that are reported. But as I'm saying, based on the evidence that exists now and all the research that has been done, that there was no direct cause and effect between Gardasil, Cervarix, and the case of Guillain-Barré syndrome and all the other side effects that were reported. I can only speak based on the evidence that exists. As with any drug that is new on the market, and with utilization and with additional testing and monitoring, then I guess the truth becomes public, or then there's more information that is available. As she mentioned, with Tylenol after 20 years, you know, whatever. So I can only speak based on the evidence that is available.
But Dr. Mitchell, as Dr. Carly
and
was
all
saying,
the evidence that is available to date suggests that the vaccine is safe.
But if you inject a child, a 12 or 11 year old child with Cervarix, and the child gets paralyzed. I mean,
I'm saying to you,
you make no connection.
We cannot get emotional. We have to be scientific about what we spread and what we say, and all the evidence and all the trials that have been done. Because once you give a drug, you can get something can happen. You can end up having some reported ill effect, but it's not necessarily directly related to the vaccine. And the evidence that is available globally from all the trials, several trials, have shown that the vaccine so far is well tolerated and safe, and that is all I can say based on the evidence that exists. You will have several ill effects that are reported, but it doesn't necessarily mean that once you have taken a vaccine and you come down with a particular thing, that it is there's a direct cause there.
Dr. Carley,
what, so we don't get emotional, you know.
Yeah, okay.
One has to,
no, we're not getting emotional here. We're trying to be clinical,
so we have
about
to,
this.
We have to practice based on what is considered scientific,
okay,
and the evidence that exists. Otherwise, we'd never ever use a drug.
Yes, but Dr. Carley, I mean, what Dr. Mitchell is saying is very typical, isn't it? That when there is a adverse reaction, the claim is always made that there's no direct connection, or you can prove no direct connection between the reaction and the drug itself. How do you fight that?
I consider it fraud upon its face, just like the massive epidemic of autism ever since the measles vaccine was introduced. It's the same thing. It's just a coincidence. Of course, the only thing that's increased in the world at large is the vaccination schedules, injecting these children with toxins and tissue cultures from animals and aborted fetuses, et cetera, et cetera. I would ask Dr. Mitchell, who's doing the studies? The pharmaceutical companies. And as Lloyd just said, they have been fined millions of dollars for covering up side effects. So how can you say what you are saying, that there's no evidence? I'm telling you, it's reported in the news, in a respected newspaper in England, that children are paralyzed, Guillain-Barré, seizures, etc., etc. There's many deaths that have been reported in the United States from Gardasil. What are these children responding to if not the vaccine?
No, remember that, you know, even without the vaccine, what you have to do is look at your controls and what is the background incidence of these disorders. And these things happen irrespective of whether you're vaccinated or not. And when you do have significant side effects, then it is incumbent on the relevant authorities to determine whether there's a direct cause and an effect. And one cannot be emotional about it, and you have to be scientific in your approach. Otherwise, you wouldn't move forward at all.
I am a scientist. I did research. I'm a surgeon. I did research when
so
I was
it has to be, yeah, it has to be evidence-based. And it has to be
One at a time.
The first step in the scientific method is observation. If you give an experimental drug and children start dying, become paralyzed, etc., that is from the vaccine, period. You cannot use statistics to twist and spin it. And, of course, the governments are pushing all of these vaccines for some strange reason. They have a vested interest in promoting vaccinations. As a matter of fact, the International Monetary Fund has guaranteed the vaccines that are produced will be sold. And we're now getting ready to face a global swine flu vaccine that has already been started to be tested. They've only been having this flu for a couple of months. How did they come up with a vaccine so fast? Things are very suspicious.
Dr. Mitchell. Dr. Mitchell. The Ministry of Health has given its approval for this drug to be administered to children, and I see also that it is being advocated to vaccinate boys as well.
All right. Well, studies that have been done in parts of Europe, in Brazil, and in the USA have shown that the vaccine works very well in boys. We are not vaccinating boys here. Our main emphasis is on women and cervical cancer prevention.
And you have started vaccinating children as well since you have already started vaccination?
Children have received Cervarix and Gardasil, and this is not just in Jamaica.
About Jamaica. We started vaccinating young girls here.
Children, yes, children, not boys, just girls.
Just girls. And how long has this been going on, Dr. Mitchell?
Well, the vaccine was just recently launched, but apart from cervix, there's Gardasil, which has been around maybe going 2 years now locally.
And there have been no reported side effects, reactions?
No, significant adverse effects have been reported.
Significant. None. Significant means that there can be, but it's...
No reports of any side effects. No adverse effects. None. Not in children nor in older women.
And the government gave its approval for this. How did the government come to the decision to approve the, for this drug to be used?
Because the studies that have been done globally, mm-hmm. and several studies have been done, extensive follow-up.
So the government relied on the information provided by the pharmaceutical company.
Well, it's not just pharmaceutical companies, clinical trials, some maybe sponsored by the pharmaceutical companies, because obviously if you have introduced a vaccine, then you have to do studies to show that the vaccines are safe or not, eh? So, I mean, we can't get away from the pharmaceutical studies have to do ongoing trials on the vaccines. But then, once you have started to utilize the vaccines, and as I said before, the vaccine cervix has been in use for over 7 years, and the studies that have been done and the monitoring that has been put in place has shown that the vaccine is well tolerated and there are no adverse effects.
I'm surprised to hear that the Ministry of Health has given its approval, because I remember having Chief Medical Officer on this program within the past year, and she said quite specifically that this drug to prevent papilloma virus, to fight the papilloma virus, had not yet been approved. So
it has not been approved. It's still in ongoing phase 3 trials worldwide at this present time. So I would ask if the government of Jamaica is getting paid by GlaxoSmithKline for using the young girls of Jamaica as experimental guinea pigs, because that's what they are. They're being tested with the drug. I'm sure they're not being told the drug has not been approved.
So not the being approved by some kind what of do you mean? It's not been approved by what licensing body? Because it's approved by the in the USA. It's approved in Europe. This is Jamaica coming
it
on the market.
Is
a bit
I have
late.
The article
and it's
published by GlaxoSmithKline
worldwide.
On
so Jamaica. Starting to use the vaccine now is a little late on the scene. It's used in lots of other Caribbean countries, and we have not had any reports of any adverse effects. Gardasil was in utilization in this area long before cervix, and we haven't had any significant adverse effects.
No significant. Final word, Dr. Carly. No significant adverse effect.
Well, that is ludicrous. As I said, people better do their own research. Check and see if any vaccine has been tested to see if it causes cancer. The antigens in these vaccines can combine with viruses in your body and reconstitute viruses. And it's a well-known fact that they are using the people that these vaccines are being tried in as experimental guinea pigs. That's what they're being used at. That is a violation of the Nuremberg Code. And frankly, to me, it's disgusting that a country would try to force a vaccine on the children and use them as lab rats, because that's what they're doing.
All right, we have to end it there. Thank you very much, Dr. Charmaine Mitchell, and thank you very much, Dr. Rebecca Carley. Very interesting discussion.
Thank you.
We take a short break. We'll be right back.
News Talk 93 FM. Real news. Real talk. Heard everywhere.